We're still studying that. What happened in those 4 days from when he entered Jerusalem to when he was crucified. So this time we'll look at Mark chapter 1. Wasn't one of the 12 apostles, nor was Luke. And it's Luke was a physician from he lived in Alexandria, but he was Jewish, and he came, some think he came late, but most think that he came earlier than that. And again, remember, this was considered a Jubilee year, and this is when all the people got their land back, or if they lent any money, if they owed any money, they no longer owed it. Everything in the Jubilee year was wiped clean. If they had slaves, they were let free. And that's one of the big reasons there were so many people in Jerusalem for this Passover. Mark was the cousin of Barnabas, and they came from the island of Crete, and Mark's father was a very wealthy man, and they built this great, it was a mansion really of a whole lot of, according to many, in the suburb of Jerusalem called Bethany, and he was the one that furnished the Passover to Christ and his disciples. Now we're pretty sure it's Mark because he's the only one that says this. So go to Mark 14. We'll start there. This is a betrayal and arrest of Christ. And let's start in verse 43. This is when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane after Passover. And well, you know all the stuff that happened there. We've studied it many times. But starting in verse 43, and immediately while he yet spake, came Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely." And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, "Master, Master," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew his sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." And they all forsook him and fled. And there had followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man and the soldiers laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. So he's got this unique account of this laying naked. And well, that's anyway why I believe that Mark is that one. He was probably 8 or 9 years old, and so it didn't, he didn't become a disciple until many years later. Well, not many, but quite a few. And when he became probably, I don't know, nobody, you can't know how old, but relatively early in his life, he became the scribe for Peter. So he followed Peter, and Mark is actually the one that wrote the Gospel of Peter because he was with him and took notes. And then at some later date, when all the persecutions were happening, Mark was asked to write a gospel from his remembrance of the activities and what other things that Peter may have told him. So that's the general summary. I don't know if any of that's interesting to me. It's to you. It's fascinating to me. But the relationships of the people. So anyway, let's now go to chapter. There's a couple of things that he has that the other Gospels don't have, or I couldn't find it anyway. Now let's start in chapter 10. Mark 10. There's a few, there's a few things that aren't in the other Gospels that Mark wrote. So this is just before his before Passover, probably a week before. In verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, I have all these things I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him that loved him, said, now, this almost universally that Jesus looked on here is Lazarus. And so anyway, let's go on. And Jesus answered in 21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at the saying, and went and grieved, for he had great possessions. Now by this time, earlier also, the Sanhedrin, both the Sanhedrin and the Romans, had assigned essentially that assigned people that they trusted to go and mingle among the disciples that Christ had. And so, and to report both to Rome with regard to the centurion that followed him and to the Sanhedrin with regard to the Jews that followed him. And verse 23, "And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now that's one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. And it should give us thought. Anyway, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Now again, all these things are leading up to this, everybody yelling and screaming, betray or crucify him. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the gospel, but that he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last. Now, you can imagine all of the scribes and Pharisees, people like Lazarus, people like the family of Mark, by the world standards back then, they were very wealthy. And so, you can imagine what these sayings, when they were reported back to the Romans, that the Romans didn't care if they were rich or not, but from the Sanhedrin, it would have been almost a sure thing that he was going to be crucified. Everybody understand? What?
Just listening.
All right. Well, I don't know how I should. Well, let's look at this version of the entry into the temple, the Jerusalem.
I did have a thought about that. The idea of riches is you don't have to put your trust in God because you've got everything that you need in the world. And so if you trust in your wealth, you know, faith doesn't have a good hold on you. You always have your backup.
Remember, I emphasize this for a lot of reasons, but the word that is used for poor is paktos, and this is Jesus' first sermon, that he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to no one else. And the poor, And again, that was a quote from Isaiah. But the poor here really doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with you are gaining no sustenance or satisfaction from the things in the world. And as long as you get sustenance and satisfaction, you may be a believer. Your sins may be forgiven. But you can't leave it behind you, because it's something you gain sustenance and satisfaction from. And this is why, from a spiritual standpoint, in 1 John, if you're in that position, you're called a darling infant, spiritually. And infants can't reproduce. But the only reason I'm here is that I was fortunate enough to see the I gotta remember to take some cough drops, because if I cough, then I have to do it all over again. Anyway, as I was saying, I absolutely loathed the church. I thought it was total hypocrisy. Even as a kid. But there came a time when I'd done just about everything I wanted to do and been all over the world and had enough money, and all of a sudden I had nothing that gave me sustenance or satisfaction. And that's when I was at that meeting with Norman Grubb, and he said the simple words, God can't use you until you fail. And for some reason, that was a knife in my heart. And I said to myself, in a big conference, God, if you're really there, what this man is saying, then that's what I want. I don't care what it costs. And that's when I had that incredible revelation, the day that I was born again. And, initially I tried to prove it wrong, and it wasn't wrong. And so from that time that I was not able to prove it wrong, I have understood the cross, that it was my death when I was baptized. Only he was resurrected. Anyhow. Would you read for a while, Gary? I'm not able here.
Where would you like to read?
Just chapter 11, and just read the discussion.
Well, starting in 1?
Yeah, starting in 1 and go through 15.
And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount.
A little louder, because you have to get it into this thing.
Okay. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way to the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say to you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him.
I'm gonna stop a minute. There again, it's almost surely Mark, but he's describing his house. No other, the Gospels say that, and the way found the colt tied by the door without in the place where the two ways met. So he gave specific what this place looked like.
Yeah.
All right.
And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing a colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strung them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered.
Let's stop there a minute again. I'm sorry. Remember, that's Psalm 118, the essence of Psalm 118. And that was, at that time, forbidden to be sung or read or spoken even anywhere outside the temple. So again, that's...
And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree after afar off having leaves, he came, if haply, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it.
Now, the fig tree was always a parable about Israel. And here, even before, this is the only place where it says that it wasn't time for the fig tree. I mean, for the figs to be on the tree yet. And yet he still cursed the fig tree for what they were about to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Then they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple.
Yeah, stop here.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't really go into it as the other Gospels do about the singing and the joy and everything of all of them as they entered, as they came down into the... Anyway, but here it just stated and then go on. And that's sort of the way Mark is the shortest of the Gospels because he always cuts things short.
What was the significance of the palm branches they threw down?
That's part of Tabernacles.
But the symbolism of a palm.
The symbolism of a palm was symbolizing the Messiah. But it's I don't have a remembrance of what that means right now, but I'll look it up.
Okay. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
Okay. Then they question Jesus' authority, and then there's the parable of the wicked husbandman repeated. But fundamentally, that's those are the things that, as it was in the other Gospels we looked at, that sort of were bringing this mystery of God all out into and then by the end of those 4 days everybody was silent or yelled crucify him. And because it touched, we all think that the kingdom of God in some ways has something to do with us, but it's the loss of self-awareness that we return to innocency. Except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And to become as a little child, that puts them back in the place before the fall. Because, what? There is loss of self-awareness. The innocent, and that by definition, that's innocence. And so that's where we're moving toward. And when, but the only place there is that kind of innocence is when you, it's not just Christ in you, it's you are then in Christ and your total identity is Him. You have no other. And that's why that's this thing that I've repeated 1,000 times, this ancient prayer, O Jesus Christ, Thou Son of God, my own eternal life. Live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee. I have no will but thine. And that can only come, that position can only come by your death and burial, never again to be resurrected again. Amen.
That the sequence here kind of bespeaks what you just said. First, he says, you can have anything you want, just pray and ask and believe. But you do have to forgive. It's like, oh no, I can't do that.
Forgive from the heart, remember.
From the heart, yeah. So that puts you in that place of innocence once you start forgiving and can't hold grudges and opinions and all that.
Amen. Yeah, it's in Matthew's version, it's that you forgive from the heart. That means you have to protect in your being the right whoever offended you or whoever you're holding out against to have done that. Now that sounds easy, it's just a throwaway. But to forgive from the heart everyone, it's...
See, I have to forgive Tom for sitting over here and banging on his bowl while he's stirring his
crushing his nuts. That's what he's doing.
And it's aggravating me. And he just keeps doing it. So finally I said something to him, but I was getting really twerked out.
But that's kind of an easy forgiveness comparatively.
Not for me.
All right, that's enough for today. Take it back.
You did it yourself after you got
home. I knew you would think.